Would you bow your heads with me as we look to God in prayer? Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can be here tonight to relive the wonder of the birth of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Shine the light of your word upon our hearts. Open our hearts to your truth and inflame our lives with your love. For your great name's sake. Amen. Please be seated, my dear friends, here in the cathedral and also in the new sanctuary. What a joy to be gathered here on this night. It's really by grace that you are here. One of my joys at Christmas time is to be at Changi Airport, to see many families receive their loved ones home for Christmas. You see young ones perched on shoulders, peering to see if their favorite uncle or aunt is at the luggage belt. You see siblings or cousins or best friends hugging each other because it's been some time since they celebrated Christmas together. Of course, you see grandparents who can't wait to see their married children come through the gate, or should I say, to see their grandchildren come through the gate. These homecoming scenes are so full of love and joy. And the joy of being together is not diminished by the frequency of Skype or WhatsApp or FaceTime contact. As my own daughter from Newcastle said to me the other day as we were chatting around the dining table, Skype is not the same. Here you have the full person in front of you, sound and gesture and touch, sharing the same space and time. It's different because of the presence of the person. And that's what I want to speak to you about from God's word today. The gift of presence. For Christmas is celebrating the gift of God's presence. Jesus is God with us, the indescribable gift. Indescribable in that it is so amazing, so astounding. And I want from the gospel reading that Canon Terry read, Matthew 1, 18 to 25, to draw your attention to why it is so amazing. Why is the gift of this child that billions across the world celebrate, why is this gift so amazing? Firstly, it is so amazing because God came himself in the baby whose birth we celebrate today. Immanuel. Immanuel. The child is not just a special child with a special destiny in life. He is given a title, Immanuel. Immanu means with us. And who is with us? El. El is with us. Now, El is the name that the Hebrews also gave to their one Creator God. They had a more personal name for this Creator God, Yahweh, because they knew him as a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. But in the Revelation, Jesus is given the title Immanuel. Partly, I believe the intention is to let us know that he is the highest being. So many religions have their own concept of God. And the biblical writers are using the word El because it's also used by other religions of the ancient Near East, the Middle East, to refer, but it always refers to the highest, to the Creator God. And it's this deity of the highest order that the biblical writers want us to know. Jesus is this highest deity made flesh. 700 years before Jesus was born, a prophecy was given to Isaiah the prophet about how God would intervene in troubling times. And so in Isaiah chapter 7, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son." A virgin will conceive and bear a son, "and shall call his name Immanuel." And Matthew, knowing the events that surrounded Christ's birth, that he was born of a virgin, the Virgin Mary, who was pledged to be married to Joseph, the son of David. You see that in the gospel. You would have heard it just now. The angel addresses Joseph, "Joseph, son of David," because something's significant. This is God's divine hour to keep his promise, that he would send the promised king. But Matthew, who can tell that the circumstances of Jesus' birth fulfill the prophecy 700 years earlier, says this is the one, Immanuel, that the Creator God of the whole universe is present in this child. So friends, many people have a vague idea about God. They would believe in God. They may even believe in his goodness. But it's all left vague. And the biblical writers want to take a common word. You know, people don't mind if you say, "God bless you." But sometimes they can take offense if you say, "The Lord bless you." Because you're specifying, you see, who this God is. And the biblical writers here tonight reminding us all, this God that many people sort of vaguely believe in, this God is now known in this child. It's a staggering claim that the highest deity, the Creator God, is present in this child. You will be asking, how can this be? How can the transcendent God of the universe be restricted to a physical body in space and time? How can you say the great God who created the whole universe is now restricted to this physical child? The answer comes to us in the scriptures in another gospel writer, this time John, describing the same event. John writes in John 1, verse 1 and 14, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." So John begins by referring to Jesus not as the Christ or Son of God, but as the Word, all that God wanted to communicate to his world. And the Word is the creative power of God. Everything was created through him. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God," so distinct from God. "And yet the Word was God." Verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So yes, this child is God the Creator. But now it's revealed to us, it's a mystery. God is one being in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. One being. It's a mystery. It's the very essence and nature of God. And now the second person, God the Son, becomes human flesh. This is God revealing who he is and what he has done. So yes, today is the birth of Jesus. But as one writer describes it, today is the origin of the one who has always existed. In the beginning was the Word, even before time, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So Jesus is God in the flesh. And he took on flesh, full human nature with a physical body. He took on flesh without being tainted by the sin that had already entered the world. He was born without sin. And perfect God and perfect man joined together. It's a mystery, but this is who he is. He became human and yet remained what he was, very God. So the creed, true God from true God. And Matthew and the gospel writers want us to know this, and hence they emphasize that he was born of a virgin and had no human father. If you really come to grips with this, it's staggering, it's stunning. It's either true or not true that this child is God in the flesh. And so Matthew in his gospel wants to convey this child was born without a human father, the miracle of virginal conception. And he says through the power of the Holy Spirit, the third person. So God in three persons, all involved in salvation as in creation. And that's why Matthew is careful to record that this virgin was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And when the angel addresses Joseph, "Don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." So the child, the first reason why this is an indescribable gift is because God himself came. This child is not a child anointed to be a prophet or to be a miracle worker or to be a great teacher. This child is God in the flesh, born on that first Christmas morning. And we are told that he is Immanuel, the Creator God, present now. But this Creator God, the Hebrews then want to unpack, because people use the same word God, but they think of God in different ways. So the Hebrew writers now, inspired, want us to know that this God is a covenant-keeping God. Isaiah will follow that thought that a virgin will conceive, and moving on to chapter 9, which was read for us, will say, "This child, unto you a child is born, a son is given." And then what does it say? "His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." So, having used the general word God, now saying this child will tell you what God's nature and qualities are like. This great God of the universe, he is Wonderful Counselor. Not a dictator, but a wise counselor. He is Mighty God. He has the power to conquer sin, defeat evil, heal diseases, and he is proactive, Mighty God. He is Everlasting Father. He's not bound by time nor subject to change, but a loving Father who doesn't change and keeps covenant, keeps continuity from everlasting to everlasting. He is God, and he will care for you. Prince of Peace, he's the great giver of true peace, not as the world gives. Does this child give? Because he gives the peace of God, which restores everything to health. And as his rule increases, so does his peace. As you come to Christmas this morning, this is a vital foundation for all that we're going to celebrate in a moment and in this service. Who is this child? This child is God in the flesh. Some, perhaps, will say Jesus did so many wonderful things, there must be something divine about him. Beloved, that is not what the scriptures are revealing, and that is not what God is inviting you to have faith in. That, oh well, yeah, there's something divine about Jesus. What we are rejoicing is that God Himself came. Jesus, God in the flesh. In fact, God being in the flesh, because Jesus is God in the flesh, is the ultimate explanation of why Jesus was the person He was and why His death on the cross has universal and eternal significance. So that brings us to the second reason why this gift is so amazing. God came into the world Himself. Now, secondly, God came for us. And Matthew's way of conveying this is to draw attention to His name. He shall be called Jesus, for He will save His people from their sins. Jesus came into the world for a purpose, to save us from our sins. There are so many problems in the world, so much pain, so much division, so much sorrow. The problems are not only out there in the world, the problems are right here in our own lives and homes. Sin may not be the immediate cause of every problem, but it is the ultimate cause. Sin refers to the selfishness of the human heart, the rebellion against our Creator and His rightful rule in our lives. Sin is the proneness in you and me to do that which is wrong according to God's law of right and wrong. We are greedy, we lie, we cheat, we are false, we are jealous. We are driven by our lower nature. We bully people. We are unforgiving. So sin mars our life. But Jesus came that we might be forgiven. The penalty of sin is death. We die physically, but we also die spiritually, because sin separates us from God, who is the source of life. Sin puts us in chains. We damage ourselves and we damage other people. And we cannot enjoy life as God intended it to be, because sin is in the way. We are responsible for it, and we incur the judgment of a just God. We need forgiveness, and we need power for a new life. And that's what this child came to accomplish. Your forgiveness and mine. And that's why in the slide before you, the crib, the manger, is tied to the cross, because the tiny hands of this infant will reach out and embrace the cross, or accurately be nailed to the cross, and there win our full pardon and a new unending life. On the cross, He broke the power of sin and all the consequences of sin. The sign of His victory over sin, darkness, and death is that God raised Him on the third day. It's an empty cross, friends. God raised Him on the third day so that we might be put right with God forever, and to assure us we have an eternity in a resurrected body. So we are forgiven. This child, this love that became flesh, came for our sakes. A slave trader named John Newton experienced this grace. It's all about grace, undeserved love. He was responsible for the death of so many slaves and so brutal with so many of them, all to make money in order to indulge himself. Could he be forgiven by Almighty God? Could he live a new life without guilt or shame? And the answer is yes, because of the amazing grace of God in Christ. Hence he wrote, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see." God came for us. And he came in a way that shows us his great humility. There's no extent to which God will not go. So Jesus now empties himself. And that's how Paul reflects on it in Philippians. Jesus empties himself of the glory that was his as the second person in the Trinity. He empties himself of the glory, becomes one of us in human flesh, restrains the use of his divine capacities, and shares our life at ground level. He was a carpenter's son. He engaged the powers and institutions of the day. Being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. He laid down his perfect life because he loves you, because he wanted to restore life at its best. He wanted to reconcile you and me to our Creator God. He emptied himself and died on that cross with a purpose for us. And so because of his obedient death and glorious resurrection, a new creation has begun now in history, and it will be completed when Christ comes again. So the modern Christmas songwriter is not wrong when he says, man can live forevermore because of Christmas Day. The amazing or indescribable gift, because God came himself. Secondly, because God came for us, to forgive us, to free us, to transform us. But there is more. This gift is indescribable because God came to be with us. Us, wretched sinners, fluctuating in our affections, deceptive, false, always putting our own needs first, unable often to keep promises for such as us. He came not only to forgive us, to settle our debt, but to be with us. It's amazing, friends, but it's wonderfully true. Jesus saves us in order to dwell with us. In fact, in order to dwell within us. Sin is the major impediment in our relationship with God. So he came to forgive our sins. And that lays the foundation for a life now lived with God, of experiencing God as your heavenly Father. So today in Christ, we have the gift of God's presence. So when you receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, you experience the reality of God being with you in your life, here and now. This Creator God, this Triune God, three in one, this God who saves, is with you all along life's journey. And in particular, Jesus is with you through the gates of death and brings you fully whole to the glorious throne of God the Father and to live forever in his presence. What comfort and strength to have Almighty God's presence with us throughout life's journey, throughout the changing scenes of life. This God is with us. Jesus is with us in times of happiness, there to rejoice with us. He's with us in impossible situations because he's there to help us. And he is with us in times of suffering and sadness. because those times are part of life's journey. And this Christmas, I was drawn to the fact that this cathedral nave, in which you and I can securely and comfortably worship God, this cathedral nave was used as an emergency treatment center during World War II. You may have the picture on the slide. So for those of us who are here in the main nave, that's the same space that was used when Singapore was under attack by the Japanese forces. It was the presence of Jesus that helped Christians to go through suffering with honor. Some of you may be aware of the testimony of Elizabeth Choi. We're very grateful that this is now put in record for us in Jotham Bayer's book, The History of Anglicanism in Singapore. As I read through the book, I came to this section where John Hayter describes the scene in the cathedral on 14th February 1942. An unforgettable picture, he says, of the wounded lying in the nave and in the aisles, which were cleared of the pews. And so in the midst of all the horrors of war, this is how he writes. Here, in spite of the noise and fury outside, the crash of bombs and the roar of our own guns, was a great peace, and there was an overwhelming gladness that those walls, symbols of love and goodness and strength, should have been sheltering those to whom Christ himself would then have wished to be most near. And that's Jesus Christ with us throughout life's journey. Therefore, we live courageously. Therefore, we experience a strength not known otherwise, because God is with us. Matthew's gospel has a wonderful way of having bookmarks to complete his gospel. And the bookmark is Immanuel, God with us. Because God is with us, friends, when we go out in mission. And this year, the year of proclamation for the church in Singapore, the love of God and the urgency of his love to touch and transform lives has gotten a grip for us. And Matthew, who begins with Immanuel at the account of Christ's birth, will end his gospel with Immanuel this way. The resurrected Lord Jesus tells his disciples, "Go and make disciples of all nations, and behold, I am with you." God with you. I am is with you. Behold, I am with you. Always, to the end of the age. To share the good news of Jesus Christ, God's way of salvation, one and only way, the way, the truth, and the life, that takes courage. And what gives us courage is the presence of God with us. And so I want to encourage us, as we continue with what God is doing, that as we go on the mission field, you'll have some pictures in front of you too. Christians going out, because go and make disciples of all nations. And here in our world of family and friends and colleagues and classmates, to share with them this good news so that they might know him, put their faith in him, and grow as disciples. That courage and perseverance comes by knowing that God is with us. And he is with us
not least. In fact, he's with us as we make disciples, as we go into the darkness of this world and shed the marvelous light of Christ. His presence gives us courage and vigor. And so I close this way. Jesus is God's gift of love to us. On that first Christmas morning, he came to us in the powerlessness of a child. Then he grew up to embrace the cross on our behalf. He died for our sins so that we can be reconciled with God. And God raised him up on the third day to be Savior and Lord of the whole world. Jesus is God himself coming for you and coming to be with you. He is God's gift of a homecoming. When you put your trust in him, when you fall down and worship Jesus Christ, you will experience a homecoming. You will experience God himself being with you, and you yourself being at home with God. And from that place of eternal love and security, we go out to live our lives fully for God, without fear and without resignation, because Jesus is with us all the days of our life and right into eternity. Let us pray. There's always the danger at Christmas time that busyness and familiarity with Christmas carols, traditions, can keep us from the wonder and can keep us from a personal response. Would you take a moment tonight, even tonight, to think over what the Bible, what God's word says about this child, Emmanuel, the great Creator God, is with us. As you think over the message of Christmas, may you respond to God's voice. Jesus is alive and he speaks. And he's inviting every one of us to believe, to adore, and to worship him. And we will experience the presence of God for life's journey and beyond. Don't be ashamed to receive. Don't be too proud to receive. Don't think you've got to get your life together before you can receive. Receive first. And the transformation and the reality begins. So for those of us who know that tonight is the night to return home to God, a homecoming, pray these words after me. Pray them in your heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came for me. I come home to you tonight. Forgive me all that is past. Lead me to newness of life with you at my side. I put my trust in you. lead me on for your glory. Amen.
Beloved, there will be the opportunity for you to indicate your response. And maybe some of you would like to give some feedback about the service. So during the notices, the ushers will be available if you'd like to indicate your response, because if you've prayed this prayer or responded in some way, we would be only too glad to uphold you in prayer and to be of any help. So please take full advantage of that during the notices. If you'd like to receive a response card, just lift your hand and the ushers will give you the card. Also, after the service, there will be folk like myself in cassocks, and there will also be deaconesses, pastoral staff at the various exit points, including Cathedral New Sanctuary. And if you'd love to talk to someone, please do, because the night is young and eternity is before us. We have the great joy of having the Lanorel brothers to bring us a song. So would you continue to keep your eye on the Lord and open your hearts to Him as we receive this song.
Flickers in the sky, a tiny star lights up way up high. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. A silent wish sails the seven seas. The winds of change whisper in the trees. And the walls of doubt crumble, tossed and torn. This comes to pass when a child is born.
Dear friends, at this time, we would like to remember the poor, the hungry, the weak, the lame. We also remember the Easter bomb victims in Sri Lanka. We pray for God's comforting and healing hand to be upon them. We also pray that God will change the hearts of all those who want to inflict pain and terror on others and themselves, and pray for world peace and for us to walk closer with you every day of our lives. Amen.
It's all a dream and illusion now. It must come true sometime soon, somehow. All across the land dawns a brand new morn. This comes to pass when a child is born. When a child is born, when a child is born.